So welcome to this family service. Not many children here at the moment. I've got a special thing for children today. So you'll have to be children. Okay, well done. Excellent. Notices, if you look at the notices, they're fairly straightforward, I think, today. And yes, we're praying for Steve Taylor and Debbie, Elaine and James Robson, and family and friends of Julie Mortimer, and the Headland family, Ron Headley's nephew, especially Harry. We'll be doing that, that's right. Everything is more or less the same. Children's Church coming up on the 8th of May. Thank you. So, our first hymn, 557, Thou Whose Almighty Word. Seated. So we'll take our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Loving Lord Jesus, we have come to sing to you, to pray to you, and to hear you speaking to us. Help us to know that you are with us now and always. Amen. And we come to our confession and absolution. Are we perfect? We are not perfect. And God says you must be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to be forgiven. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us bring our secret sins into his light and to confess them to him. O God, our gracious Father, you know us as we really are. You know our selfishness, our anger and our resentment, our fear and laziness, our hardness of heart, our need to begin again. Father, we have failed you often and ask your forgiveness. Help us to live that others may know your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? We are forgiven. God has forgiven us. We can start again. The collect for today. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
And our next hymn is one of my favourites, and it was the favourite of my wife Anthea. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. We now come to our readings, and I think it's Sylvia and Alison. Thank you.
The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you are coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 11. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshipped." This is the word of the Lord.
Two gorgeous readings, aren't they? And the gospel he's reading is also gorgeous. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net onto the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." He wrapped his outer garment round him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. It was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Brown Bear. Have you met Brown Bear before? Right. Brown Bear is over here. I'm going to introduce you to Brown Bear. Have you met Brown Bear?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. Say hello to Brown Bear.
Hello, Brown Bear.
Hello, Brown Bear. Hello.
Hello, Brown Bear. Hello, Brown Bear.
Anybody else? Here we are.
Hello, Brown Bear. Hello, Brown Bear.
Hello, Brown Bear.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Now, Brown Bear is... I'll switch him off. Brown Bear is very sad. He's got a problem. He's got a big friend called Squawk the Parrot. Have you met Squawk the Parrot? There he is. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me, we mustn't miss out with the organist, must we? Right. Say hello, Brown Bear. Well done. Squawk the Parrot is in trouble. Squawk the Parrot has lost his faith. He's a sad person, a very sad person. Oh, yes. Thank you. He's lost his faith in God. He's lost his faith in God. What are we going to do about it? Oh dear. Oh dear. What are we going to do about it? He's not at all happy, is he? Now, what do we do when somebody's unsure or losing their faith? What do we do? Faith. Pardon? Oh, we pray for them. We talk to God, don't we? That might help, mightn't it? Shall we do that then? Let us pray. Lord, Squawk has lost his faith. Help him, Lord. Help him. Show him yourself. Show him your love in his heart. Show him the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Do you hear that? Are you feeling a bit better? He's feeling a bit better. You feel a lot better. Well done. Power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. Thank you. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples went home to Galilee, to the place where Jesus had healed and taught and drawn great crowds. When the disciples went back to Galilee, they went fishing. It wasn't sports fishing, it was business fishing. They were fishermen. It was business fishing. On this occasion, however, nothing was biting. But then several remarkable things happened. They are remarkable. A stranger appeared on the shore and said, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" The stranger says, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Rugged fishermen don't usually take kindly to a stranger trying to tell them how to catch fish. So the next remarkable thing that happens here is that the fishermen don't tell the stranger to go and jump into the lake. At any rate, when they do what the stranger tells them to do, they catch so many fish. 153 big ones. And they can't even haul in the net. 153. Little research needed there. Why 153? That was when one of the disciples recognized the stranger. "It is the Lord," he shouted. "It is the Lord." At that, Peter jumped into the lake to swim to Jesus, I suppose. You never knew what Peter would do next. Jesus and the disciples boiled some fish and ate some breakfast. Then Jesus singled out Peter and asked, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me most of all? And Peter responded, of course, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And that was true. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. So Jesus said again, feed my lambs. And then Jesus asked again, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So Jesus said, tend my sheep. Then Jesus asked again, do you love me? And Peter responded, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. In that exchange between Peter and Jesus and Peter, we find everything we need to know about what it means to be a Christian. Firstly, we can learn from the question that Jesus asked, do you love me? Jesus could have asked any number of questions. Jesus could have asked, did you remain faithful? But he didn't. He could have asked, did you deny me? But he didn't. He could have asked, did you run away? But he didn't. Jesus asked three questions, but they really boil down to one. Do you love me? I find that wonderfully encouraging. Jesus was catching Peter at a low point. Peter had denied Jesus three times. He had run away. He had lost faith. A bit like Squawk the Parrot. He felt terrible. But Jesus didn't take Peter over the coals. He didn't criticize Peter for his failure. He asked only one question. Do you love me? And the reason I find this so encouraging is that I too have failed Jesus. Often. We all have. If Jesus demanded a clean and pure life from us, we would be hopelessly lost. But Jesus doesn't ask, what have you done? He doesn't ask, have you been good? He asks only, do you love me? If Jesus required us to be truly holy, or to serve in high church office, or to read the Bible every day, or never to have an impure thought, if Jesus required these things, we would be lost. But Jesus asked only, do you love me? We can do that. When Peter answered that he loved Jesus, Jesus said, feed my lambs. And lambs are baby sheep, adolescent sheep, sheep not fully grown, sheep that need special care and feeding, sheep that need someone to teach them how to grow up properly. Lambs need someone to keep them from running in front of a car. They need someone to make sure that they eat right and get enough sleep. We try to do that, even in this church. We love our children, not many of them. We provide a Sunday school where they can learn about Jesus, and youth groups where they can find fun with other people and other children in a faith environment. Jesus is speaking to us when he says, feed my lambs. Jesus said, tend my sheep. Tend is a bigger word than feed. Every gardener knows that. It's easy to feed a garden. Tending the garden is the hard part. Tending the garden means getting your hands dirty. It requires the gardener to anticipate what the plants need and to provide it. And sheep is a bigger word than lambs. Lambs are babies. Sheep include everyone. Jesus was calling Peter and us to care for those in need, whether children or adults. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus fed people to meet their physical needs, and he fed them to meet their spiritual needs. Jesus calls us to do both. Rick Richardson tells a story that illustrates what we're talking about. His friend Sam lost his wallet, so Rick said, Sam, I'll pray for you. And Sam said, I guess it can't hurt. But then a little later, Sam came over to tell Rick that he'd found his wallet. He laughed. Hey, you can pray for me anytime. A few days later, Sam mentioned that his ulcer was acting up. Rick asked if there was anything he could do, and Sam asked him to pick up some medicine. Rick delivered the medicine and told Sam that he would pray for him, and Sam seemed happy enough for him to do that. Then Sam reported that he was feeling better and didn't need the medicine. Rick said, man, I wish I'd prayed for you before I went and brought that medicine. And they both laughed. And now, whenever Sam needs something, he asks Rick to pray for him. So, we love Jesus and we feed his sheep. Amen. And now our hymn, 205. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship.
Thank you.
me join together in saying what we believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son,
who lives in our hearts through faith
and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit,
who strengthens us with power from on high.
We believe in one God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. So please be seated while David comes and leads us in prayer.
Let us join together in our prayers before the God who knows each of us by name. Almighty God, your Son revealed himself again and again and convinced his disciples of his glorious resurrection. Help us to feel his risen presence as we seek to share the good news with our families and with our friends and neighbours in our local communities. God of hope, fill us with the joy and peace in believing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for all whose hopes for the future have been frustrated by illness, oppression, opposition, or circumstance. May they not lose hope and discover that in every situation you are there and call them to you. We pray for those who preach your word in areas where there is little or no response, all who witness to you among opposition and violence. We pray for all who celebrate the Holy Communion and who minister the sacraments. God of hope, fill us with the joy of believing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we give thanks for lively and vital communities. We pray for the individuals who help restore and hold together community life. We pray for people in areas where community life is broken down, for areas of fear and poverty, for those who have left home with nowhere to go. We remember all who sleep rough and the organizations that care for them. God of hope, fill us with the joy of believing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, bless all who work for little or no reward, all who find no rest from their toil or their fear. We pray for all whose lives are full of guilt, regret, and remorse, for those who have lost faith in themselves or in the world around them. We pray for all who have been involved in accidents and acts of violence. God of hope, fill us with the joy of believing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for friends and loved ones who are ill, including those named in our service sheet today. For Steve and Debbie Taylor, following Steve's operation. For Elaine and James Robson and family. The family and friends of Julia Mortimer, Pat Seddon's sister. And for the Hedlin family, Ron Hedley's nephew, especially Harry. and for Eve and Peter Nelson. As Eve goes into the hospital on Thursday morning to have her heart procedure. We pray that they may all be aware of your presence. And we pray for others known personally to us, whom we pray now in the silence of our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, a prayer for Ukraine, following the horrific and unprovoked invasion of their country. We pray for the innocent, the millions of women, children, and elderly men who have fled their country in an effort to save their lives. And we pray for the millions who remain and living fear of the atrocities of war. We pray for the chaplaincy of Kiev and the churches that serve Ukraine. And we join with them now in praying for a ceasefire, a withdrawal of Russian forces, and for peace to prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us in the traditional word. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Amen.
So merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And our final hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, 513.
Thank you.
And so the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and all whom we love, now and always.
Amen. Amen.
And if we face each other across the aisle, we'll say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Thank you.